Who would have thought it? So much power so close at hand. The dragon could feel the magic flowing into it, renewing it from second to second, in defiance of all boring physical laws. This wasn't the poor fare it had been given before, this was the right stuff. There was no end to what it could do with power like this. But first it had to pay its respects to certain people. It sniffed the dawn air. It was searching for the stink of minds. Noble dragons don't have friends. The nearest they can get to the idea is an enemy who is still alive. The air became very still, so still that you could almost hear the slow fall of dust. The librarian swung on his knuckles between the endless bookshelves. The dome of the library was still overhead, but then it always was. It seemed quite logical to the librarian that since there were aisles where the shelves were on the outside, then there should be other aisles in the space between the books themselves, created out of quantum ripples by the sheer weight of words. There were certainly some odd sounds coming from the other side of some shelving, and the librarian knew that if he gently pulled out a book or two, he would be peeking into different libraries under different skies. Books bend space and time. One reason the owners of those aforesaid little rambling, pokey second-hand bookshops always seem slightly unearthly is that many of them really are, having strayed into this world after taking a wrong turning in their own bookshops, in worlds where it is considered commendable business practice to wear carpet slippers all the time and open your shop only when you feel like it. You stray into L space at your peril. Very senior librarians, however, once they have proved themselves worthy by performing some valiant act of librarianship, are accepted into a secret order and are taught the raw acts of survival beyond the shelves we know. The librarian was highly skilled in all of them, but what he was attempting now wouldn't just get him thrown out of the order, but probably out of life itself. All libraries everywhere are connected in L space, all libraries everywhere. And the librarian, navigating by book sign carved on shelves by past explorers, navigating by smell, navigating even by the siren whispering of nostalgia, was heading purposely for one very special one. There was one consolation. If he got it wrong, he'd never know it. Somehow, the dragon was worse on the ground. In the air, it was an elemental thing, graceful even when it was trying to burn you to your boots. On the ground, it was just a damn great animal. Its huge head reared against the grey of dawn, turning slowly. Lady Ramkin and Vimes peered cautiously from behind a water trough. Vimes had his hand clamped over Errol's muzzle. The little dragon was whimpering like a kicked puppy and fighting to get away. "It's a magnificent brute," said Lady Ramkin, in what she probably thought was a whisper. "I do wish you wouldn't keep saying that," said Vimes. There was a scraping noise as the dragon dragged itself over the stones. "I knew it wasn't killed," growled Vimes. "There were no bits. It was too neat. It was sent somewhere by some sort of magic, I bet. Look at it, it's bloody impossible. It needs magic to keep it alive." "What do you mean?" said Lady Ramkin, not tearing her gaze from its armoured flanks. What did he mean? What did he mean? He thought fast. "It's just not physically possible, that's what I mean," he said. "Nothing that heavy should be able to fly, or breathe fire like that, I told you."
"But it looks real enough. I mean, you'd expect a magical creature to be, well, gauzy."
"Oh, it's real. It's real, all right," said Vimes bitterly. "But supposing it needs magic like we need sunlight or food."
"It's a thaumivore, you mean?"
"I just think it eats magic, that's all," said Vimes, who had not had a classical education. "I mean, all these little swamp dragons always on the point of extinction. I suppose one day back in prehistoric times some of them found out how to use magic."
"There used to be a lot of natural magic around once," said Lady Ramkin thoughtfully.
"There you are, then. After all, creatures use the air and the sea. I mean, if there's a natural resource around, something's going to use it, aren't they? Then it wouldn't matter about bad digestion and weight and wing size and so on, because the magic would take care of it. Wow! But you'd need a lot," he thought. He wasn't certain how much magic you'd need to change the world enough to let tons of armoured carcass flit around the sky like a swallow, but he'd bet it was lots. All those thefts. Someone had been feeding the dragon. He looked at the bulk of the unseen university library of magic books, the great accumulation of distilled magical power on the Discworld. And now the dragon had learned how to feed itself. He became terribly aware that Lady Ramkin had moved, and saw to his horror that she was striding towards the dragon, chin stuck out like an anvil.
"What the hell are you doing?" he whispered loudly. "If it's descended from the swamp dragons, then I can probably control it," she called back. "You have to look them in the eye and use a no-nonsense tone of voice. They can't resist a stern human voice. They don't have the willpower, you know. They're just big softies."